In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, it's quite obvious that St. Luke spent a great deal of time with the Blessed Virgin Mary. But he certainly didn't spend that much time with Elizabeth, or so it appears from their respective birth narratives. Even amid all the similarities, it is quite clear who the important child is. One child leaves angels singing and shepherds marveling at the sight. The other leaves a family stunned and relatives marveling at the name. One boy alters the cosmos as the Virgin conceives God. The other alters a family as a barren mother finally receives her child. But if you were to ask St. John the Baptizer, he'd tell you that he wouldn't have it any other way. Yes, even from his time in his mother's womb, John has been pointing people to Christ, pointing people to the very Lamb of God who not only speaks realities, but whose mere presence alters the universe. Presence in the womb of Mary as she journeys to Elizabeth and a child leaps in faith. Presence in Cana as water is changed to wine. Presence in this place, at altar, pulpit, and font, where he is always making things new. So no, Zechariah is not being offensive as he places his newborn son second. But Zechariah is demonstrating that he gets it. Zechariah gets that the gospel and the church are not about himself, nor are they about his son, but they are about Christ giving his good gifts. They are about Jesus joining himself to his creation in a tangible, substantial, life-giving way. So yes, Zechariah does finally speak to his son, but not before first speaking of Christ. The same Christ who visited his people of old in many and various ways, the mouth of the prophets, the pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night, a rock, a burning bush, a priest offering up bread and wine, and on and on and on. But who has now visited his people anew, this time in the flesh, in the womb of Mary. Zechariah proclaims that holiness has moved. The divine has come down to his creation, arrayed himself in a robe of flesh and blood, and taken that same flesh and blood up into his Godhead. And all of this he does for one reason. The Lord is faithful. Faithful to faithful Abraham. Faithful to his covenant, faithful through blood. Blood that saturates the water of the font, blood that pours from his side into the chalice, blood that covers you with the garment of the Lamb. And as Zechariah tells us, all of this, every last bit of it, is the Lord's doing. So what about poor St. John the Baptizer? It is his day, after all. Well, it's not very often that the Lord's men who wear strange clothing and have an even stranger diet get the full shot here in the chapel. Feast day, torches, and all. Yet the Lord's faithful delivery boys, those who preach the gospel and deliver the goods, actually receive much more than feast days and torches. But they receive the eternal joy that comes from pointing people to Christ, pointing people to the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Whether in the womb of their mother or out in the wilderness of this world really makes no difference. And that is precisely why we remember St. John the Baptizer this day. We remember him because of the one to whom he pointed. the one for whom he filled in the valleys and made the mountains low so that all people, not excluding you and me, might have a clear path to Jerusalem, to Golgotha, to the cross, to the place of blood and death and forgiveness and life, to the place of the covenant. As St. John the Baptizer shows us this day by his very nativity, the church is not about you and it's not about me, but it's about Christ, who joins you to his flesh and who gives you his good gifts. He washes you, speaks to you, bodies you, and bloodies you. That is typical Christ for you. Always pointing to Jesus and never to himself, well, that's typical St. John the Baptizer for you. And so we hear him say to us this day, even without words, I must decrease, and he must increase. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.